Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junior Electric!
Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasta.
Joe Davis on the call. It must be tough for him, knowing that he's called the Dodger games all season long. He's on the Fox national broadcast, and the Padres take a 2-1 series lead over the L.A. Dodgers. We're going to get into it here. This segment is sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Fernando Tatis is baller right now. His fourth home run in five games in these playoffs, already tying Jim Leyritz in 1998 and Manny Machado in 2022 for their most in a single postseason in Padres history. This guy's got his OPS is damn near 2,000. He's the second player, along with Carlos Beltran, who surged in October for the 04 Astros, to record at least 10 hits of four home runs through the first five postseason games. Unbelievable tear he's on. And he hits that home run. They go up 6-1. Now, Teoscar Hernandez made it interesting with a grand slam, and it's a 6-5 ball game. You're thinking, boy, the Padres can't lose this one. And they don't. Their bullpen shuts it down. They shut it down. And maybe we have somebody who can solve Ohtani. Is this Taylor Scott guy? Does he have the answer? Is he the Ohtani stopper?
And bets. He got them both out in the eighth inning. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at this Padres-Dodgers series, and if I'm baseball, I'm sitting here and I'm going, all right, what can we take away from this? Number one, the atmosphere is unbelievable.
Yep.
The crowd, and clearly the Padres being the only team in that city, they have galvanized and backed them. Boy, do the Chargers look stupid leaving that town.
Dumb.
I mean, it's just it's the same thing. Like when I went to that game at Berkeley, versus, you know, I kept thinking to myself, boy, the A's really are leaving this.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Like you have an East Bay contingent that is just ready for just be relevant.
Memorial Stadium Saturday night was packed.
But
that's the most electric atmosphere I've ever been. I've been to a lot of Cal games. That was next level.
I can make an argument it was the best thing that's happened to the city of Berkeley in like 20 years in terms of PR, straight PR.
No doubt.
But going back to the Padres, like that town and that crowd is electric. I probably tweeted it out 20 times this year. Wow, I'm so jealous of the Padres, just the atmosphere. And I think that their players so perfectly fit those, like that entire area in that region. And I look at Machado and I look at Tatis, and clearly they're super arrogant and cocky, and it's awesome. And they're bat flipping and they're hitting just absolute tanks and monster shots, and they're talking smack, and they hate the Dodgers. And there's a part of me that looks at them, and I think that the whole thing, the whole package, right? The crowd, the stadium, the players fitting like the, or it reminds me a lot of like the Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
The way the Legion of Boom really connected with the Pacific Northwest.
Yep.
Yeah. And the way, like, I was jealous of their environment. You know what I mean? To a degree. Didn't like them, whatever. And I'm saying to myself, like, how can baseball tap into this? And just Dave Roberts. I mean, Machado throwing the ball like in his direction and him crying and whining. And then Max Muncy in postgame saying, these guys are bat flipping singles.
We're going to get that sound in just a second here.
But I love that they all hate each other.
But I want to get to the sound bite. And the one thing to get jealous of, and I've heard nobody really talk about it, is I'm jealous of the fact that the Padres have catapulted the Giants to becoming the Dodgers' biggest rival. As of right now.
They are.
As of right now.
And the Dodgers hate them. You know, and clearly
Padres hate them.
Exactly.
And the Dodgers have dominated the Giants, and the Padres look at the Giants as an afterthought. ESPN had an article. I forgot who wrote it for ESPN.com, but a couple years ago, they mentioned that the Dodgers-Padres, the biggest rivalry in baseball. We all scoffed at it. It's like, how are you going to just dismiss the Giants like that? Well, you know what? Maybe they saw the future, because right now this is the it rivalry in baseball. Dodgers-Padres, they can't stand each other. They've got all the stars. And Machado making that choice to leave the Dodgers as a free agent to sign with San Diego, a lot of people scratched their heads. Now you look and see what they've built in San Diego, and Don't forget, they traded Juan Soto in the offseason. They figured that, you know what, he's not going to sign here long term. We've got friction here. Let's just move on. And then they make the shrewd move early in the season for Luis Arraez from the Miami Marlins. So they solidify their leadoff spot. Profar is having a career year, who's always been a top prospect. You get a great rookie in Jackson Merrill. Xander Bogaerts, look, he doesn't have to do anything. We don't even talk about him not living up to the contract anymore because of what Tatis and Machado is doing alongside their pitching. But they're clearly in the heads of the L.A. Dodgers. Now, here's Max Muncy before game three. Listen to Max Muncy, folks.
I don't know about leveling the playing field, but I think that's definitely part of their game is they try to, you know, as I've said, they play off the emotion. The atmosphere here plays off their emotion. And, you know, we've seen that for the last several years, even in regular season games. You know, just something as simple as a single, and you see the guy throwing the bat 30 feet in the air, that really gets the crowd going here. And I know that's just that is kind of part of their game, is trying to get under your skin and trying to have the emotion come out and get you to do something that you're not normally doing. And you know, just for example, if you're a pitcher and you see a guy doing that, and all of a sudden you want to throw harder, and now you're missing balls right over the plate, and that's when their guys are doing the damage. So you just can't. It's easier said than done, obviously, but yeah, you just can't let that happen.
And we're talking about a guy who hit one in the water, and Matt Bum was yelling at him, and he's saying, "Go get it!" And we know how arrogant Muncy could be. We know how arrogant this Dodgers team could be. And the fact that they're letting the quote-unquote little brother get to them in a series, and now the Dodgers, in a do-or-die game, their season on the line, they're going to a bullpen game. They're relying on their bullpen to save their season. But Max Muncy, Dave Roberts said that, hey, Machado tried to hit me with the ball. There was something extra there. Mike Schilt, the manager of the Padres, had Machado's back. I didn't even notice. He was a recipient or representative of him being a Roberto Clemente Award winner. Had no idea Manny Machado made those strides as a leader.
He's been a leader for quite a while. Right. Ever since that weekend series when they were out of it and he like went at Tatis for, you know, screwing up the base running and whatnot. My opinion of him has changed dramatically.
Yeah, no doubt. He's grown up so much, and he's a leader, galvanizing that team at Dodger Stadium, saying, hey, let's keep our focus. Let's win this game. They're trying to rattle us here. And now the Dodgers are rattled. And now the Dodgers face elimination where they're going to walk the plank here with the bullpen game. I mean, this is wild.
Well, you know, the Giants and Dodgers have only had that one playoff game, playoff series, excuse me. Yep. And prior to that, they had that play-in game way back in 61, 62. Yeah. And so the Padres and Dodgers, because of the expanded playoffs, being able to play in 2020, being able to play in 2022 in the playoffs, and then now in 2024. I mean, this is how these rivalries are forged for generations. Yep. And then when you're battling for fans in the Southern California markets the way that they are, like, it's just awesome. It's awesome to watch, and I think that the Padres switching up their uniforms to what they've done has been just an absolute chef's kiss.
Going back to brown was the best thing they could have done. I don't know why they went away from the brown, the blue, and the orange. It just never incredible. Felt right. The brown is what their identity is. And the pinstripes pop on their white uniforms. And that crowd, Petco Park, man, looks amazing.
It's amazing.
And once they start rolling offensively, and they have these big innings, the crowd gets on top of you. They start getting loud. You hear them in the ninth inning. Oh, and I'm like, wow.
Well, I mean, B, they've got a lot of injuries, the Padres. Like, everyone's going to go, oh, Freddie Freeman's ankle. It's like, well, Luis Arraez is literally playing first base because he can't throw. Yep. He's been injured for months, you know, and they don't have Kim. And, like, there's a lot of injuries right now on both teams, and you're seeing that, like, hey, you got to be a deep roster. And I think the Dodgers pitching, if you've been monitoring them all year, they've been a juggernaut offensively, but their pitching all year has been suspect, and now it's coming home to roost.
I mean, think about all the money they play Yamamoto. And he got lit up in game one. Lit up.
Didn't pitch for months, too.
Lit up. All right? So he didn't pitch for months. Walker Buehler, look, credit to him for getting through five.
I mean, he's coming
he hasn't
back.
Been right. He hasn't been right all year long. They had to send him back down to the minors.
Coming back from the Tommy John. Yep. You know what I mean?
He's not there yet.
Exactly. It was the same thing I said to Giants fans regarding Robbie Ray. It's like, the guy's coming back from Tommy John. Let's all, like, relax a little
he's
here.
He's not there yet. So that's, you know, but the Dodgers are in trouble. Kershaw, he's not even on the postseason roster, huh? He didn't make the postseason roster?
I don't think so. Ooh. He's pretty much done.
He's cooked. So they're going to a bullpen game today.
It's too
old.
Well, the Padres also lost Musgrove. He's going to have Tommy John. He's out. Like,
right. So Dylan Cease is pitching today on short rest.
Who's been awesome for them.
So he's going to try to close out the Dodgers today. By the way, I had this.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.